This is a sermon that I preached at Holyrood Mennonite Church on July 30th on the parable of the wedding banquet. The scripture is from Matthew 22, 1-14, as interpreted by the Message. Jesus responded by telling still more stories. God's kingdom, he said, is like a king who threw a wedding banquet for his son. He sent out servants to call in all the invited guests, and they wouldn't come. He sent out another round of servants, instructing them to tell the guests, "Look, everything is on the table. The prime rib is ready for carving. Come to the feast." They only shrugged their shoulders and went off, one to weed his garden, another to work in his shop. The rest, with nothing better to do, beat up the messengers and then killed them. The king was outraged and sent his soldiers to destroy those thugs and level their city. Then he told his servants, "We have a wedding banquet all prepared, but no guests. The ones I invited weren't up to it. Go into the busiest intersections in town and invite anyone you find to the banquet." The servants went out on the streets and rounded up everyone they laid eyes on, good and bad, regardless. And so the banquet was on, every place filled. When the king entered and looked over the scene, he spotted the man who wasn't properly dressed. He said to him, "Friend, how dare you come in here looking like that?" The man was speechless. Then the king told his servants, "Get him out of here, fast. Tie him up and ship him to hell, and make sure he doesn't get back in." That's what I mean when I say many get invited, only a few make it. When I watch the news, sometimes I feel speechless. I just don't know what to say. There is so much power and oppression and hate, and then the threats and the judgment and blame. And what upsets me the most is when all this happens in the name of the faith tradition that, as I've come to understand, offers us the opposite of all these words. Our faith is liberating through love, not judgmental and exclusionary. It offers second chances through forgiveness, not threats of punishment. It encourages us to understand each other's stories, not look for blame. Our God invites us to a communal banquet feast of abundance and love and peace. Not after we die. God is inviting us to create this banquet right here, right now. And so what do we make of Matthew's telling of Jesus' parable of the wedding banquet? This banquet story is so very different from the banquet feast organized by the father and the prodigal son, isn't it? As told by Matthew, this might be the one of the most misunderstood parables of Jesus. When the characters in this story are mischaracterized, we ascribe attributes to God that misrepresent or even slander God, and this ultimately harms us. Let's back up a bit to the books of the prophets, scripture that Jesus quotes from so often. The prophets of old, Isaiah, Amos, Micah, often reminded their people, the children of Israel, of the consequences of not following Torah teachings. Torah refers to the first five books of the Old Testament, the books that lay out the stories and laws and covenant with God or Yahweh. God's laws are rooted in a mutual and humble living covenant of trust and commitment. We're invited to hear and follow God's laws, and God loves and provides. It is a living circle of humility and love that ensures shalom, or peace and abundance, for those engaged in this covenant. But how easy it is to forget and stray from what ultimately gives us, ourselves and our communities, life. Our human nature is to try to control, and whenever we do, things don't end well. The prophets were calling people back to this posture of humility and love. Micah 6:8. "And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God." At the point where Jesus shares the parable of the wedding feast, Jesus is in a context where he is playing the role of such a prophet, reminding religious leaders about the foundation of the Jewish faith. Love God and love your neighbor, in humility, without judgment. He is calling them back. He is exposing their hypocrisy. Jesus had very little patience with religious leaders who knowingly misinterpreted the laws of God for their own benefit of power and wealth. So Jesus is telling this parable, among others of a similar nature, to the religious leaders in the temple. He is in Jerusalem, the seat of religious power, not Galilee, the area of fishermen, Greeks, Samaritan neighbors, in short, diversity. The Jerusalem leaders challenge him with a question about his authority. He's from the Galilee, not from Jerusalem, after all. They want to trap him with his words. They want to silence him. He will not tell them where he gets his authority. Instead, he responds with several parables, one of which is the parable of the wedding banquet. And, as in most of Jesus' parables, the characters often represent God, Jesus, the followers, us, those with power and privilege, politicians, religious leaders, those cast to the margins, foreigners, widows, orphans, lepers, and prisoners. So let's look together at the various characters in this story as told by Matthew. Let's start with the king. This king wants to have a prestigious banquet. He delegates, orders his servants to invite his special chosen guests to feast. The king assumes his guest list includes people who would stop everything to come to his feast, but he's wrong. Somehow, the hospitality plan of this king doesn't work with the invited guests. They turn him down. In the Luke version, they have elaborate excuses, excuses we heard in our offertory song. In the Matthew version, they even turn violent towards the servant of the king. The king then takes revenge. He levels their towns. This story so far sounds familiar. People with power might share their power in a way they claim to be benevolent, but it is in fact oppressive and forced, and people turn down the overture, and the people with power feel slighted and turn aggressive, and the cycle of violence is now in full swing. Often, the king in Bible stories is a reflection of God. But does that work in this story? Does this king reflect the attributes of the loving, all-knowing, merciful God in whom we put our trust? No, this king is more like our politicians and leaders who either don't get it or are willfully protecting their power and wealth. This was the religious context Jesus was speaking into, a boiling political pot about to explode, and Jesus was speaking to the religious leaders who should have known better. So who were those invited guests in the story? They were perhaps like us, people who have enough to live well and who perhaps don't have time to care extravagantly about others or feast and celebrate the abundance we all have. They were busy. I've had many conversations that start with the assumption that I'm busy, as if that's a good thing. It's a badge of honor in our culture to be busy. I actually don't want to admit or claim that I'm busy. I want to believe that I'm relevant or connected or doing right and good work. Busy to me always sounds like a frivolous word, and yet I do often keep myself busy, and I wonder how many banquet feast opportunities I miss out on. But back to our story. The king, thankfully, doesn't want to waste all the food, and so he asks the servants to go out and bring anyone they meet in. No criteria. Just fill the banquet hall, and this is where the writers of Luke and Matthew diverge. In the story as told by Luke, the blind and the lame, the outcasts, fill the hall, and the message is that great banquet is for those outside the structures of wealth and power. Those of us who are busy with our blinders on to the need around us are left out. This sounds more like the feast prepared by the father and the prodigal son, where the older son excludes himself from the feast because of his judgment of others, especially his brother. Where he judged and rejected, God embraced and welcomed, just like the king in the Luke telling of this parable. Matthew shares a different message in his telling of this parable of the wedding banquet. In Matthew's story, the king invites anyone and everyone, but then still judges them in terms of acceptability. The king looks over the crowd to make sure everyone is dressed appropriately. And when he sees one guest who, in his mind, is dressed inappropriately, he orders him exiled. Here is how Mennonite pastor Isaac Villegas explores this character. He says, in the parable, Jesus is the man without a robe, the one thrown into the darkness by the king. Jesus tells the story about what the leaders want to do to him. With this parable, he confronts them with their world, with the society they manage, a way of life they maintain, with threats of violence, with the madness of revenge, a nightmarish world regulated by cycles of vengeance. With this parable, Jesus exposes their desires. He exposes them to the truth about themselves. And this man, Jesus, is speechless before the king. The man incarnates the gospel of love, where the first shall be last, the hungry fed, the naked clothed, where the essence of the law is love and the only kingdom is liberation, not for some, but for all. He has no words. He has only his life. And the king banishes him. And I think we, as a society, continue to banish those without the robe. The robe represents how we disguise our ways and our structures, often in the name of justice, but usually justice for some, not all, which, of course, is not true justice. Churches and institutions are not immune to abuse of power. Churches as communities, however, have the gift of every week coming together to create a great banquet of inclusion without judgment, where the law of love and the vision of liberation is continually being incarnated and reincarnated. I sense a commitment here at Holyrood to be such a community, a living and evolving community, the body of Christ working together to embrace love and inclusion and belonging for our full liberation. We're a refuge, a sanctuary that offers safety. Here, we lament together, we rejoice together, we learn together, and we sing and pray prayers together. All of our stories and experiences and longings and insights are welcome in our community circle. We come together as individuals, yet we gather as a community that recommits over and over again to the great commandments of God as lifted up by Torah and amplified by Jesus, to love God as the source of all life, and to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. It is in our community life that we experience the salvation of God who brings shalom, peace and abundance and plenty to our lives. Here at Holyrood Church, let us continue to work at being a refuge for seekers of the Jesus way. Let us continue to hone our capacity to show up for each other in the name of Christ and to show up in the world to uncover the good news of true liberation that's already among us as a human family. Jesus's parable of the wedding banquet reminds us that the true feasting happens outside of spaces of power. And these spaces are all around us, waiting for us to invite and be invited into the circle of shalom. Let us live into the invitation of our closing song. We are sent by God wherever we are living, salt and light, and people of the way. May it be so.